back to the Legal Curve Radio Show.
Oh, we are?
Very good, Richard.
Crazy Game of Poker?
Very good. Live performance of Crazy Game of Poker. Well done. You brought your A-game in hockey analysis and guessed the music picks.
Thank you, sir.
Well done. I'm very impressed.
Drew Casey Kasem has nothing on you.
Yeah, right. His ability to search YouTube as quickly as humanly possible. Anyways, welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show, 8:45 p.m. tonight. We're on until 10 o'clock, joining you for the year 2010-2011 NHL season preview. We're pleased to be joined on the line now by Scott Morrison of Hockey Night in Canada. Scott, welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show.
It's good to be back, Riley. Thank you very much.
Hey, Scott.
We're going to focus on the Eastern Conference with you. And, you know, throughout the last couple of regular seasons, the Washington Capitals have been the class of the Eastern Conference, but they haven't been able to put it together come the playoffs. Do you see them as the favorite again this year to win the conference, or do you think they still won't have enough to get it done come playoff time?
Well, I think you have to list them as a potential favorite just because you look at their roster and it is just so deep and so talented. And we've seen in the past that there's teams that have been expected to go deep into the spring that sometimes had to stumble once or twice before they figured out the commitment and the work ethic and other elements of the game that were required to get there. So I think any time you have a team that has number 8 on it, the caliber of Ovechkin and then the supporting cast of Backstrom and Semin and Green, and I think you will see Bruce Boudreau coach a little bit differently this year. I think you will see a better or a bigger emphasis on improving the overall defensive play of that team as well so that they will be better prepared come springtime.
Scott, in the Atlantic Division, you have your top three, Pittsburgh, you have Philly, and you have Jersey. Those are like the class of maybe the East, but the class of at least that division. Which of those three do you see setting themselves apart from the other two?
Well, I got to think Pittsburgh again. You got Sidney Crosby there, and I think if it's possible, he could be an even better Sidney Crosby this year because as troubling as it was for him and that team to bow out fairly early in the playoffs, they had two springs in which they went to the final. One finished better than the other, and then he had the Olympic experience on top of all that. He played a lot of hockey, and having a little bit longer summer this year is not what you want as a player, but sometimes that step back can lead to a step forward. So I think you'll see him take his game to another level.
Even with the injury to Mark Savard of the Boston Bruins, do you think this team is still the favorite in the Northeast?
That's a good question. And it's going to be interesting to see how Buffalo plays because they kind of fell off a little bit over the second half. Miller obviously gave them a real good chance every night and was the best goalie in the league, brilliant from start to finish. But I think Boston was a better team than what they displayed for most of the season, and not having Savard will hurt them to be sure, but I think you'll see them, I think they'll have a strong season. I like the addition of Nathan Horton. I think he'll be a nice fit with that team, and I think they're going to have a good year.
Sticking in the Northeast Division, the Canadian teams in the Northeast, the Habs, the Leafs, the Sens, of the three, who do you see making the playoffs?
Oh, boy. None.
I
easily could be the case if that all three could be out because Ottawa and Montreal certainly are in that group of teams that will be from, where do you want to put them, 5 through 10 or 11, that will be bunched very closely together as we saw last year. Ottawa had a quiet summer. The extent that they went out and got Gonchar was the guy they wanted. They wanted a puck-handling defenseman. They wanted a guy who could quarterback their power play and improve their special teams. They weren't able to do it financially to keep Volchenkov, and that was they wanted to keep him, but the numbers just didn't add up. But they really feel that they can change how they play at the back end, and they'll spend a lot more time on the other end of the rink. They liked their team over the second half of the season. They had a real nice run there under Corey Clouston, so we'll see if that faith is rewarded for Brian Murray. I guess the question there comes down to how good can the goaltending and how consistent can the goaltending be with Pascal Leclerc and Brian Elliott. And Montreal, I wouldn't want to be in Carey Price's skates right now. That kid, we saw it on the opening night of the preseason. I mean, last year, as great as Halak was in the playoffs, they really needed to be a two-headed monster during the regular season and goal to get the job done, and now there's just a tremendous amount of pressure on Price, and you hope for the kid. He's a likable young man, that he's able to deal with it. But boy, oh boy, it could be tough in Montreal.
You know, on price there, Scott, don't you think that the Habs fans are really just shooting themselves in the foot? I mean, getting on this kid is only going to hurt his confidence, and then the team's going to play more. Is going to play poorly.
It is a self-defeating prophecy. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. I mean, he's your guy. They've made the decision. You can't wind back the hands of time and bring the other guy back.
Right.
So you've seen that as well at times that this kid, he's only 23, has done the job.
Mm-hmm.
So why not throw a little bit of support behind him, and certainly don't cave in preseason and start that kind of circus at that point. That just made no sense whatsoever.
I totally agree. In the Southeast Division, Scott, people like Washington win the division pretty easily, and then you have Tampa as being kind of the sexy, like underdog kind of pick this year to move up with that top six. I want to ask you about the other three teams in the division, Atlanta, Carolina, and Florida. Which of those three teams do you think could possibly surprise this year?
Well, I don't think Florida is going to do it. I think it's going to be a tough year there. But they've got a rebuilding plan, and I think Dale Talon will do a really good job there. But it's going to be a process. But I think he can get that done. I think Carolina can bounce back real quick, and they were very good down the stretch. And if they hadn't dug such a deep hole early in the season, they might have made it. I mean, and injuries. You lose Eric Staal, you lose Cam Ward. And some of the other injuries they had, they were just devastating. But they, you know, and they moved some veteran players, and they didn't lose any steam or any traction by bringing the younger guys in. And that kind of surprised Jimmy Rutherford a little bit and Paul Maurice. So I think they didn't call it a rebuild. It was just a retool on the fly. So I think there's potential for Carolina to be very good. I picked them to finish eighth. I got a feeling they're going to get in there. And I think Atlanta is going to be much improved. Craig Ramsey is a real underappreciated by a lot of people coach. He's a real bright guy who can get his message across to the players, and I think he's an improvement there. Rick Dudley's made some nice moves in the offseason. Obviously, the guys they picked up from Chicago and whatnot will help immensely. Bogosian's a great young defenseman. They're pretty good in goal with Mason and Pavlik. So there's a lot of people that think they may be a legitimate playoff contender, let's put it that way, be right in the heat of the battle this year, and that franchise certainly needs it.
Yeah, I like Atlanta in that mix. Scott, I was talking about it earlier on the show, and I think the main reason I did is because John Anderson, I was happy to see him get opportunity from the AHL to the NHL, but it seemed like he didn't really, the style of play they had wasn't really tailored to the kind of talent that they had, and so they're really strong in defense, as you just mentioned. They have good young goaltender in Pavlich, and then they have Mason. Do you think maybe that Ramsey's defensive style really is coming in at a good time?
Well, he's going to be looking to shore it up. I mean, they gave up the 6 most goals per game mm-hmm. last year, mm-hmm. so that was clearly an area that had to be better. You know, in fairness to Anderson, how much was pressure to try and sell tickets and play an entertaining style, and you went through the Kovalchuk circus there, which wasn't an easy situation either. So there were a lot of mitigating circumstances, but there's no question that Craig Ramsey has a mandate to improve that team defensively, and until they do that, and Bufflin, it looks like, is going to play, at least start full-time on defense, so that'll be an interesting deal as well, because as great as he was in the playoffs, he was maddening to that Chicago coaching staff with his inconsistencies during the season, but he certainly made amends in the springtime.
Scott, we wanted to get your take at a situation that's developing in New Jersey. Today they announced the roster, and they actually submitted a roster to the NHL, which only included 20 players, 11 forwards. They actually didn't even give Adam Mayer a contract because they're waiting to see mm-hmm. if their team roster is approved. Do you think they're trying to cut corners just to get under the salary cap here?
Well, I mean, they obviously had the challenges with the whole Kovalchuk situation and whatnot, and I think they tried to move some players, but a lot of players, they've got a lot of no trades and a lot of no moves there, and then they had some contracts like Ralston's contract, which was prohibitive. So short of putting somebody in the minors and eating up that money, then they had to get creative in other ways, and I guess going with the 20-man roster to start allows them to do that. And then the next factor that comes into play is injuries, and how do you deal with that? Inevitably, they're going to have to move a body, I think, but this was a pretty sharp, creative way to get by it for the here and now if everything gets approved.
We're joined on the Legal Curve radio show by Scott Morrison of Hockey Night in Canada. Now, Scott, is it possible that the answer to Philadelphia's legendary goaltending problems is a 22-year-old named Sergei Bobrovsky?
Well, it's been quite a run there in Philadelphia of goaltenders over the years of trying to find a solution, but Perhaps it is. I mean, it's too bad for Michael Layton that his back is acted up on him, because you know, it was a pretty nice story, him doing what he did last year, and you can say there were some suspect goals in the finals, but he was the lead role in a lot of that Cinderella story. But they're going to need to be better in goal and more consistent in goal for Philly to be good start to finish this season, no question.
Pittsburgh is obviously always a team everybody wants to talk about. Crosby, Malkin, obviously Staal's injured right now, but Scott, when are they going to address the issues that they have on the wings?
Well, you have to play the hand you're dealt, and in the salary cap world, as much as you want to fix something, you can't always do it, and there's not always the deal out there to allow you to do it. So I think that's something that's on the radar again this year, and it's been every year for Ray Shiro, and he was able to do it nicely a couple of years ago, and I think you will see before this season is over that he will probably try and make some moves up front to get a little more help on the wing, especially for Crosby.
Would Ray Shiro try to contact Bill Guerin and get him back after he was cut by the Flyers, or is that not happening?
I don't know entirely, but I think they probably parted ways for a reason initially, and to go back there, especially if, you know, Philly, I know Philly has some cap issues as well, but if he didn't do enough to earn a spot there, then it's not likely he would do enough to get one on Pittsburgh.
Okay. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the New York teams. We've talked about every other team so far in the Eastern Conference, but the Rangers and the Islanders, we'll couple them together. Is there any, you know, should we expect the Rangers to go, you know, somehow make, if they make the playoffs, do you expect them, is it possible for them to make it out of the first round? And the Islanders, is it possible for them to finish, you know, out of the bottom three in that conference?
Yeah, well, I think with the Rangers, I mean, the good news is you got Lundqvist and Baron. It's a pretty good goaltending tandem. It's going to give them a chance to be good every night and have a chance to win every night. But they need some others to step up there. They got to keep Gavrik healthy. You know, Drury's got to get his game up to a level. There's just a lot of question marks on that team.
Yep.
There's some good elements there when you think of Delzato and Staal on the blue line, but there just doesn't seem to be enough of them, and I think they're going to be one of those teams that's, you know, the bubble teams that may have a chance of getting in and just as easily may not. And as far as the Islanders are concerned, boy, you got to feel sorry for them. You know, the injury's mounting already. You know, it's a roster that's not overly deep to begin with. I mean, they're in a process of trying to build that thing up, but you lose a good young player, a right winger, Okposo, and then you get loose straight on defense, and, you know, he's your power play guy. Yeah. That's a tough one to start out with, regardless of how good some of your other younger players. And you got to hope that the likes of Molson and Tavares don't take a step back, that sometimes you've seen that from younger players, that they're able to keep pushing forward, but it's probably going to be a tough season for them.
Might even see Grabner getting the, you know, the first line duties.
Awesome.
He's got the skill. He's a former first round pick, and he's a skilled guy. It's just been a matter of getting the kind of I don't know what you want to call it, the drive to go with the skill on a consistent basis. And if he's you know, he's going to be put in a position to succeed, there's no question about it. He's going to get quality minutes and playing situations, and they really need him to step up.
Isn't he the kind of guy that Florida still could have used? I mean, they gave up on him so quickly after acquiring him.
Yeah, they weren't very bad. They were not sad to see him go, so I don't know if he was just mailing it in or what exactly was there, but Dale Talon was pretty emphatic that he had no problems doing what he did.
Well, Scott, I think I can speak for Richie and Drew and Michael and Hart, everyone here, that Grabner was one of the most talented guys to come to Manitoba in a really long time, so we were expecting him to hopefully make it in Florida, but he's been bouncing around a lot lately.
Attitude problems.
Yeah, he just doesn't have them.
Most talented and most frustrating.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that the way it always works?
Quite often and too often, that's for sure.
Exactly. Scott, before we let you go tonight, we'll put you on the spot. Who's your Eastern Conference Stanley Cup representative?
Well, I hate doing the predictions, especially the way the world is now with all the salary cap. And I mean, last year, you think there's parity, and then last year, three of the four bottom teams in the East in the playoffs win in the first round, and Montreal, Philly, the 7 and 8 seed, go to the Eastern Conference Final. So there was not a lot of smart people when it came to predictions last year, but myself included. But I, you know, had to go on the limb for work, so I said Washington. That maybe it is time. Maybe this is the year that they make that step. And I like the mix on their team. And as I say, I think Bruce Boudreaux will do some things a little bit differently this year. And maybe they were smartened up by the playoff failures of the past two springs. And in the West, because I know you're going to ask, I pick San Jose.
Whoa. Sort of good.
Well, they're finally flying under the radar.
Yeah, that was a bonus prediction.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Because, you know, it seems that a lot of people are you know, you got Detroit, you got Chicago is going to be good again, but it's, you know, the key is going to be how good are those role players, the new role players that come in. And, you know, San Jose is still very, very good. Thornton's in a contract year. They've changed the goaltending, that, you know, change as good as the rest sometimes. So maybe that changed the dynamic, and a guy who won the Cup and put them out of the playoffs.
True.
And I still think Doug Wilson's got a move in him to maybe add another piece of the puzzle to replace Rob Blake. They're still good on the back end, even without him. So, and there's a different expectation level this year. So I don't think you can overlook, they survived a mighty scare that they didn't really induce against Colorado. They just ran in a real hot goalie in a team playing tight D. But they found a way to get through it they wouldn't have done in previous years. And then they got by Detroit. And even though they got swept by Chicago, that was a closer series than I think the final result indicated. A couple of those nights, they were the better team. So we'll see. But there's no shortage of teams in the West, and Vancouver's one of them that have a good crack at it.
Scott Morrison of Hockey Night in Canada, thanks very much for joining us tonight on the Legal Curve Radio Show.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Scott.
Take care, Scott. Thanks very much. Well, I mean, you know, it seems to me that the East is very much wide open. I mean, the West is wide open, too. But, I mean, I think
West
that the best teams in hockey are in the West right now.
More top-heavy.
Yeah. I mean,
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's...
But this whole league's up for grabs.
Well, it's parity. It's the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, it's any team, you know, at the start of the season, you never know who's going to get hot. And
well, you have two great writers we just had on, Scott Morrison and Eric Dash, and they have two differing opinions on, you know, a team like San Jose. I mean, that's what makes it exciting, right? That's what makes the season. Everybody's got an opinion, and most not as informed as the past two guests we just had, but everybody's got an opinion, and everybody's got hope, right? That's the best part about the opening night. Every team has a chance to make the playoffs, and that's why it's exciting.
Well, that's why we play the games, right? Let's leave it there. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back, we have 1 hour left in the Legal Curve Radio Show season preview. We're going to break down the Eastern Conference. We're going to take your calls, your emails, your tweets, your Facebook messages, you know, anything else, any other possible communication I've missed. Anyways, stay with us. 60 minutes to go. You're listening to the Legal Curve Radio Show live at 92.9 KICK FM.
Our own way. I'm sitting on a dock or a bay.
I'm not even going to ask. You should know that song easily. But, of course, listening to us here on KICK FM is the exact opposite of wasting time. You're laughing, Richard. You're not just saying anything.
It's not a waste of time because we want all of the hockey fans out there to be completely up to date with about... How many hours do we have left before the season starts? 12 hours?
Yeah. 14 hours. I think it starts
hours.
11 o'clock Winnipeg time.
Yes, we have a game at 11 o'clock. What game is that, Drew?
Is that the Minnesota-Carolina game?
Yes, it is, from Helsinki, Finland.
Well, we know where Izzy's going to be tomorrow.
It's a pretty early start.
For you to wake up by 11 o'clock?
No, I wake up pretty early now.
Don't you have a service where you wake people up?
Yes, I do. I have a service. It's a private service, so you're going to have to find a way to get a hold of them. Yeah, it is a private wake-up service.
780-KICK-780-5425 if you want Ezzy's personal cell phone number.
Hash coffee and a wake-up.
Ezzy's your guy.
Good prices, too.
Good prices, I bet. Anyways, let's start with the Eastern Conference. Let's start in the Northeast Division.
All right, let's do it.
We got 60 minutes worth of the Northeast Division to talk about. Let's start...
20 minutes of the Northeast Division to talk
about. Sorry, 60 minutes of the Eastern Conference, 20 minutes of the Northeast Division.
Good. Thank God.
Thank God that what?
That we don't talk about Toronto Maple Leafs for, you know...
We can skip the Leafs altogether if you really want.
Talk about the Leafs.
Okay, we're talking about the Leafs. Okay, anyways, let's start with the...
I want to talk about the Leafs, and we'll talk about the... You know what? We're not going to stop the Leafs because we're starting with the division winner from last year, Buffalo. And when we're talking about Buffalo, Ezzy, we talked about it with Bill Hoppe from MSG.com a couple of weeks ago. This team didn't really do anything over the offseason. They lost Talander.
Robbie Niedermeyer.
They lost Ludman. And they really didn't do much on the back end. And I think that's gonna hurt them. Up front, obviously, they have guys, you know, they added Niedermeyer. Sure, he doesn't really add much, in my opinion. But they have guys like Tyler Ennis and Nathan Gerby.
Did you not see his shorthanded goal versus Montreal? That was a beautiful goal in the preseason.
Who?
Robbie Niedermeyer.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Well, you just know how I feel about the
They added
Niedermeyer
Sean Morrison and Leopold on the back end. I mean, to me,
how many teams is that for Leopold now?
A lot. That's a decline. They gave Leopold 3 years of $3 million.
Sure. Richard, the capologist, is coming out right now.
We got, you know, I am. Ryan Miller, if he plays as well as last year, they're in good shape. I don't think he plays as well as last year, but I think he's still a force. I think that he is, Drew, we got a call?
Yeah, we got a call. We got Graham on the line. Finish your thought, though.
Well, no, I just think that Buffalo is a team that makes the playoffs, but and they have the possibility of upsetting because of Ryan Miller, but to me, they're not scaring me right now. Let's talk to Graham. Graham, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
How are you, man?
I'm not bad.
Ahoy, hoy.
I've been waiting for like 40 minutes to call in about the West because you had those two guests back-to-back, but...
You're not criticizing the fact we had Eric Dehatchick and Scott Morrison.
No, not at all. They were fantastic guests.
No, even though we're on the East, though, if you want to talk West, we're definitely not. You get priority service here because you're a repeat caller
there
and you're
go.
A friend of the show. We'll talk West.
You may even have Ezzy's cell phone number.
Not until he becomes a doctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Three short years, and I'm going to have that doctoral degree.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on, I think it was Richard's picks on the Western Division there just before you guys went to the break, and I think that is going to be a really exciting division to watch this year. Like Dallas, Phoenix, LA's got potential coming out of the yin-yang, and San Jose, and I just think that one in particular I'm going to be paying attention to out of all the leagues. I think that's all the division. I think that one's going to be the most exciting one.
Graham, how do you rank that division? Do you think Phoenix and Anaheim are playoff teams, or what do you see happening there?
I didn't think Phoenix was a playoff team last year, but...
Sure.
I don't know. I guess I think Anaheim's a little weaker than Phoenix, but I agree with Richard again. I think Dallas people overlook that team, even though Marty Turco left and Medano left. I think that helps them. I was trying to remember though. Was it 2 years ago? Marty Turco was just playing phenomenal in the playoffs, and they went like seven periods with San Jose.
Yeah, that was 2.5 years ago when they lost to Detroit in the conference finals in six games. But the year after that, he was awful. Yeah, last year he was respectable. But, I mean, Kari Lehtinen has more upper-end talent than Marty Turco. He's able to steal games. Now, if he stays healthy, it's another issue. But I like their talent. I think they got a lot of young talent. I think that they can score. And it's a lot easier to learn how to play defense than to learn how to score.
They absolutely can score. And maybe Dallas will even be a surprise from that division.
Yeah. That's what I think.
And Graham, the way I don't know if you heard last week's show when we had Justin Goldman of Dauber Hockey on, but the way he was talking about Kari Lehtinen, I mean, I think he's the type of guy that if he plays, to his potential the way people were talking about him when he was drafted, I think he starts playing well. We're talking about Dallas like we were last year with Colorado. Because Craig Anderson was just stealing games, getting shutouts.
Good point, Ezzy.
And I think that is the way Dallas. If even though I predicted Dallas wouldn't make the playoffs, I think he's the type of guy that could do an Anderson situation in Colorado.
Sure. And among things like that, even like talking about captaincy.
Yep.
Was it your first guest from the Globe was talking about the captaincy going to Blake?
Yeah, that was Dadger talking about the
game. Yeah, I think that's, again, like, that Blake's like that quiet kind of Lidstrom guy who's got all this experience and he just sits on the blue line and he just has this commanding force when he steps onto the ice.
You're going to miss him, yeah. Do you have any, what else, Slender? Any other predictions before we hop over to the Northeast?
No other predictions. I just got to say, Johnny Quick has got to play a lot less games.
Yeah,
Don Cherry was still coaching, I think it'd be like a 50-game limit.
Yeah,
I don't know if is that a continuing trend in the NHL now to really push goalies to play 65 games.
Generally, they try and limit the goalie, especially young netminders. But I guess LA was between a rock and a hard place.
And I think in the NHL too, that's a really good question actually. And I think in today's NHL, I think that pressure is there when a guy is in his first year as being the number one goalie, whether that is Jimmy Howard last year. I think he was a guy that they wanted him to play 60 games last year. Yeah. And I think there is an increasing pressure.
Problem is, as Ian and Graham, the problem is that once you're in a playoff race and it's the middle of March and you need to win games, you forget the numbers and you play the guys because they're going to get you into the playoffs. That's what happens.
I guess so, but at the end for Johnny, we're only talking about 10 games. And then it seems if they do play... almost a 50-50 split or a 60-40 split, then you get a situation like in Montreal where the media anyway makes it seem like the goalies are mad at each other and they're like really vying for this spot and somebody's going to lose and then the fans get behind one goalie and that's really as a fan, I think I'd rather have two solid, like Halak, Price. That would, if you had two goalies like that.
We all wish,
like,
we
know they couldn't keep them, but yeah. I mean, like, that would just be the perfect scenario.
Agreed, and we all wish we could have two goalies like that. You segued well, Graham. We're going to let you go and talk about Montreal and those teams in the Northeast. Appreciate the call. Call on your time. Take care.
Thanks.
What we have, we're talking about Buffalo quickly. I guess we're going to quickly get through a segment. So Buffalo, I mean, I don't see them. They were the team last year. Ezzy, I don't know what you feel about them, but I think that this year they... I don't think they win the division. I don't think they're bad, but I don't think they win the division.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I've got Boston winning the division.
I do too. Let's talk Boston.
They should have won the division, but just quickly about Buffalo. I think because they're so well coached, and you've got some very, very underrated forwards that seem to. I mean, Derek Roy is one of those guys that is very underrated as a center.
Let me ask you that though. Is he underrated anymore, or has he not reached the potential people thought he could?
Well, that's but. I mean that's a debate that might take a little while, but I think you know Tim Connolly, Jason Pominville, I mean Ennis and Gerby are two of their rookies that are going to get a lot of ice time this year. They've got a lot of good forwards and a veteran like Craig Rivet and others on defense. Are good enough this is a very good team, but Talander's gone, right?
Yep.
Talander
Lidman,
was credited.
Lidman.
Talander was credited, rightfully so, for bringing Myers along last year. A guy like that doesn't get in there without someone guiding him along. But Boston Bruins, this is your best team in the division, and
I think
arguably the second or third best team in the East,
possibly as well.
You know, Nathan Horton's there. Tyler Seguin's there. Those guys are going to get lots of ice time with Savard on the shelf.
I love their depth. I love their depth up front.
Yep.
You know, you lose Savard, Ezzy, but you have Seguin to kind of be the third line center. You move Krejci and Bergeron up. You got Lucic. You got Horton. You got your Reckies and you got your Sturms. And the guys who all play, Gregory Campbell's going to be able to kill penalties and block shots. Danny Paille, a good defensive player. Steve Bajan can be your... No, it's not Steve Bajan's not there anymore. But, who else am I thinking? Oh, Michael Ryder, the good shot. You have guys who... And by the way, thanks to NHL Numbers for the great list of the rosters. You have guys where they can do a lot of everything, right, Ezzy? Like, Horton can score. Bergeron can win faceoffs and be good defensively. Seguin can provide pure offense. Ryder can shoot. You know, Paille can play a good defensive game. You have Chara a bunch of minutes. I don't love their defense, but it's a little bit slow afoot. But with Tuukka Rask and Tim Thomas in net, very well-rounded team.
This is okay. That you just said the name of the guy that I think is the key here, Tuukka Rask.
And I think you might be right about that.
He is, once again, the worry here is when we're doing these previews that we're sensationalizing teams and players. But Tuukka Rask last year, I think, didn't get enough respect. Tuukka Rask, is 22 years old, I believe. He might be 23.
He is 23.
First round pick of the Leafs.
Yeah, that's right. Traded for.
Who's he traded
Andrew
for?
Andrew Raycroft, my friend.
Oh, Andrew. Oh, that's right. Okay. And traded for Andrew Raycroft. I think last year what he did in Boston was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. System helps. His numbers, Julian's a very good defensive coach.
His numbers were almost too good with his 1.97 goals against and his save percentage of 920, whatever it was. I think that if he gives them the night-in, night-out performance like he did last year in the second half, this team... I mean, aside from Washington, will be the best team. I think they're gonna beat a lot of teams by three or four goals.
It's a weak division. Let's move over and let's talk about the Habs. They had their Cinderella run last year. Out of nowhere, for the most part. It's funny enough. I had them losing both against Pittsburgh.
It's gonna
be
tough for them to make the playoffs this year, Rich.
I agree, Ezzy. Talk more about that. No, because it's true. I agree. I think you're on the point there.
Well, I mean,
have they gotten any better over the offseason?
I mean,
I think probably not.
The only really big moves they made were in goal and on defense, really, if you think about it.
Well, yes. I mean, but in reality, you know, Subban kind of coming in, not much different than the team that left in the playoffs, lost in the playoffs. Your really only addition is Eller for Halak.
Yep.
And then so you have Price playing all the time. Is that a drop down? I think that Halak's a heck of a goaltender. I also think Carey Price is a heck of a goaltender. I don't know if Montreal's the right city for him, but I think he's a heck of a goaltender, and the city should get behind him. You know, you're adding in Eller, but this is a question, Ezzy.
You know, what surprises me about Montreal, I mean, it should be the smartest fan base in hockey.
Right,
and they're just so
they feed into that.
Hate on for this guy. It's so irrational. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't think that they're not. I'm not going to say that they're not, because I probably think they are the smartest fan base. They know every single player. They know everything.
If they were the smartest fan base, they wouldn't be booing your goaltender who's got
tough,
already.
But they're tough. Yeah, I mean, they're the toughest.
There's a difference between tough and stupid.
Right.
There's a difference between tough and stupid, and what they did to that to Price during the exhibition game was stupid.
I agree. And
they're hard on the players.
You know,
Drew,
you
bring
Dusty, you had
the
Dustin Boyd trade at Sergei Kisitin. Overall, though, if this city gets behind Alex Aull, they're going to be let down because Alex Aull is on number one netminder in the National Hockey League. On defense, Markov comes back at the end of the month. I do like their defense. I think that they have some, you know, Spatrick, Markov, and Subban are really good puck movers.
Yep.
Hal Gill and Georges really came into his own last year, and honestly, Roman Hamernick is a veteran. Ryan O'Byrne's a solid physical defenseman. I don't mind their defense. Again, they're going to be in the slots to make the playoffs, but they're not, I don't think they're going to be any kind of shoo-in. I mean, your top line's Gomez, Gionta, and Pouliot fits in there, and then you have Plekanec playing with Camilleri right now. You know, there's talent there, but you lost Dominic Moore, replaced him with Halpern. Similar, I think Moore's a little bit better. You haven't got really any better. You're probably moving sideways. If Ken Eller come into his own this year with a lot of pressure, I don't know. But I think I agree with Ezzy. I mean, they're hard to you know, in a hard race to make the playoffs. They could, they couldn't, but similar to last year.
Okay,
we'll
Rich,
see.
Putting aside the, you know, Halak gone and Price having to, you know, basically have a bounce back year, I think Montreal, and we talked about this a lot in the playoffs last year and heading into the playoffs last year, they have a defense in the Eastern Conference that is really second to none. I really think that they might even have the best defense. Without Markov there.
I think Philly has the best defense in the Eastern Conference, but I think and Pittsburgh might have a better one, but then not than Philly, but maybe than Montreal. But you know what, Ezzy, that's actually a good point. I mean, look at the Eastern Conference defenses; they're not very good. Washington's not great. You can go through the whole team. So yeah, sure. Montreal might have a top two or three defense in the Eastern Conference.
But that's, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, with a defense that strong, with PK Subban, Richie, and I know that we don't want to put too much pressure on him.
They're going to boo him also if he starts off slow.
I don't think he's going to disappoint.
No, he's a favorite there.
He won't disappoint. But with that top defense and essentially a similar top six from last year, I mean, it's going to be very difficult for them to fall off so much that they aren't going to be fighting for that eighth spot, you know? And, you know, Gionta's named captain, and they play very well as a team. This group, I mean, Montreal...
They do play well as a group.
They have 24 Stanley Cups, but this group that they currently have, Camilleri, Gionta, and Gomez were all brought in as new players, and they did well. I mean,
not bad.
They lead that group of forwards, and...
They do.
And
Gionta's the new captain. Ezzy. Let's move over to Ontario. We'll do Ottawa before Toronto. Senators.
Well, do Ottawa because they deserve more time than Toronto does.
Senators, you know, to me they exceeded expectations last year because the numbers really predicted that they wouldn't finish as well. I mean, they finished fifth in the Eastern Conference last year, playing at Pittsburgh in the first round there.
Yep.
Ezzy, you know, you got Kovalev back healthy.
Yeah, but, I mean, is his head on straight? Who knows?
Who knows? You have him back healthy. Now, you have obviously a goaltending battle on there. You have Mihailuk back, hopefully healthy. You bring in Gonchar. There's some changes here. The power play should be really good. Their forward group is not bad. There's some talent there. Their goaltending is a question mark. Again, I think they're a fringe team. I think they exceeded expectations last year and produced better than I think they were in terms of talent. In that mix, I don't love them. I don't hate them.
I think my take on Ottawa is... that they're going to fight for... I think they'll take a step back, and along with Montreal, they're going to fight for that last...
I agree with that.
Let me ask you guys, why do you think they're going to take a step back?
Well, they're fifth last year.
Yeah.
What's that?
So a step back from that, as he's saying.
I know, but I mean, they're returning a better team than last year's team.
Drew,
this is why.
I know that
this team is better on defense, arguably, with adding Gonchar, who's probably the best power play defenseman of all time. Maybe.
I like that move, but they're going to miss Volchenkov.
They're going to miss Volchenkov on defense, but goaltending, Drew, really, and we haven't talked about this on very many teams, but Ottawa with a really good goalie, I really believe this is a contender, but I think it's that big of a question mark on this team with LeClaire and Elliott. And I mean, LeClaire, they basically told him that they wanted him to be the number one goalie, and now we don't. This is almost a situation like Montreal last year, going into the season. None of us, I don't think, thought Montreal was making the playoffs.
Well, we'd all be stunned if LeClaire actually plays 25 games and stays healthy.
Right.
Well, yeah,
that's why. That's the only reason why, Drew.
Such bad, like an injured playing on the bench, sitting on the bench last year.
He got hit in the head with a puck.
You
want to
do Toronto quick? We'll do Toronto quick.
We have to.
Their defense has a lot of name value. Finov, Komisarek, Beauchemin, Shen, you know, Caberlet, all that. In terms of defensemen, they don't have that much. In terms, Funif leaves a lot to be desired in that respect. So does Cabrera. Shen has potential there, but Komisarek, even then, he's not as great defensively as people think. He's overpaid. Their defense, again, name value is better than the actual talent. I've said that on the show numerous times. They need a huge production from Jaeger and Gustafsson to be in the conversation for the playoffs in February, never mind in March or April. And at forward, they're very weak. And, I mean, they have the Kessel and they have Versteeg and they have Bozak and they have guys like that. But at forward, those guys are going to have to play against top defensive units every night, which is going to be tough on them. Their depth lines, you know, second line, forget depth line, their second line just doesn't cut it in the National Hockey League. They don't have enough up front. Expectations are fairly low, so that's good for them. But
yeah, but what's the best case scenario?
Best case scenario is probably, you know, best case scenario is 8th overall in the East. Worst case scenario is 15th. Probably finish somewhere in the 12 to 13 range.
Well, good thing they have that first round pick next year.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I just Richie, I agree, and I don't think you know what, I always want, I'm not one of those people that even though I'm not, the Leafs aren't a team that I follow super closely, I always want the Leafs to be in the playoffs.
Why?
In addition to liking the city of Toronto, I think it's always good when every Canadian team is in the playoffs because there's only six. That's just me.
That's fine. That's fair.
But I just don't see it. And to their credit, to Brian Burke's credit, I think the acquisitions that he made were pretty good. I think bringing in Chris Versteeg, good acquisition.
Not bad.
He's a good hockey player.
Colby
Armstrong, once again, is a very serviceable player, and I think it was a good acquisition. But
the moves weren't awful this
Phil summer. Kessel is an elite player who needs to play with an elite winger.
And let me ask you this.
Center. And Bozak is very young, and I don't think at this point in his career...
He has talent, but it's a lot of pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure for him to play with a guy like Kessel, who... Phil Kessel, this is one of the best players in the U.S. This is an amazing player. So I think Toronto is just not... I think it's in goal and on defense, there's good players.
Look how much money is back there.
Right. And,
too much money.
They're not going to score enough goals, Richie. And I think in Toronto, they're going to have to wait. I was hoping that, you know, that Kadri would make the team because I think he's a very, very, very good young player. But there's not enough offense. There's nothing more that I could say there.
We have Brad on the line. He wants to talk about the Leafs.
Okay, let's have Brad. Let's go. Brad, what's going on? Brad.
Hey there, guys.
How are you?
Good. I actually just had a kind of a question. It's like, you know, other than making, you know, the playoffs, doesn't Toronto usually sell out every game, even though that they're, you know, bottom of the rung?
Absolutely. Yeah. Although last year they were having trouble selling out some of their boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the boxes are sold. They just may not be used on every single game.
No, they weren't sold.
Really?
Yeah.
Like they have special boxes they sell for one game, one-off deals?
I don't know. I read an article. There were some that weren't sold.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they're still making a lot of money on revenue and all that, there's not a lot of really motivation to really make any big spending sprees because, I mean, Toronto's one of those weird teams where it doesn't matter how good or how bad they play, they always seem to sell out.
Right, Brad, and that's a good point. I'll let Richie jump in here just one second, but I think, though, there's always... And Brian Burke, there's always the pressure to win, and I think Brian Burke does want to put together a championship team here. I think that it's just happening a little bit slower than he wants to.
Well, he's trying to make it happen too fast. The problem is, the thing is that this team actually spends to the cap, but they don't spend spend judiciously, and that's the biggest problem. The other problem, well, not a problem, but the other thing, you know, on your point. When the Leafs were in a non-salary cap era, their cap was actually their salary structure is actually higher than it is now. So they're making boatloads of money.
Well, I mean, what Brad's argument was or is how the Leafs ran their system under Harold Ballard.
I understand that, Drew, but they're spending up to the cap this year.
I know. I'm saying, what's the difference? I mean, Harold Ballard looked at a situation. He saw, okay, I can make a ton of money.
Marlins and
doesn't make
Pirates.
A difference, yeah. You know, if I actually, you know, put a quality product on the ice or not, and I don't have to pay these guys anything. Well, why am I going to bother? I'll make as much money as I possibly can.
Brad, I want to throw out a question to you because I agree with you. I think, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be highly profitable. But just, you know, on the topic of their fans, they have great fans and they will support the team. But after, I mean, they haven't made the playoffs in the lockout. What do you think if you're a Toronto fan, you must be asking yourself when is this team even going to make the playoffs?
Well, that's true. I mean, there is probably an expectation of wanting your team to go on, but at the same. You know, looking just at it from a back standpoint, not being really much of a fan, I mean, the business side says that they're making so much money off of not putting a quality product out there and not having to really invest that much money, and the fans are eating it up. I find it's a little bit more motivating when you don't have a sellout every night and you have to make those improvements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could be right, but unfortunately they're playing Toronto. Well, considering the inept product they've been putting out for years and years and years, they're still selling out. I find it hard to believe that they'll ever not sell out in Toronto, and that's just the harsh reality of the situation. Brad, appreciate the call very much.
Thank you.
Go to break. We'll come back, talk about which division, Drew?
We're coming back. We're talking about the Atlantic Division. It's definitely a three-horse race there.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9. Kick FM. All for you, Richie.
Keep it going.
You want to hear more? It's either this or we talk about the New York Islanders, so you know, we might as well hear a little bit more.
It's the New York.
That's right. Richie, sing it out, Richie. You're belting it out. You're mouthing it in the studio. That's not true. I've heard you sing. When you're drunk and you do karaoke, you sing the Rolling Stones song all the time. I'm trying to remember which one.
Which one? Jack Black?
No. I've seen you do a duet.
I'm loving Born to Run.
Maybe
I'll do karaoke again for my birthday. It's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Is that an open invitation to anybody who's listening right now?
Yeah, you know, we'll do some karaoke. I'll do karaoke. It's a great time.
Do a Rolling Stones song.
Stones.
I don't know. It's one that sort of has a role for a duet.
Who? AP did it. Shelter.
Yes. That wasn't AP. That was you who did it, wasn't it, Richard?
Heartbreaker?
AP and RP?
No, it was the AP and the female.
AP's my brother, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was Gimme Shelter.
It was Gimme Shelter. You're right, Remus.
There we go.
Anyways, Gimme welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
The last break song.
What's that? Gimme Shelter is a good last break song?
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll get that up. Okay, let's start talking. Let's start with the Philadelphia Flyers. They won the Eastern Conference. They deserve to be talked about first.
Yeah, they do, Drew.
They didn't win the division, though, so why are we starting with it? I think the New Jersey Devils won this division last year, didn't they?
Nobody cares about the Devils.
By the way, hey Drew, you were sticking to the
Nobody cares about the Devils.
You were sticking to the order of going through teams. Am I wrong? You said we were going to go through.
We didn't even do our predictions for the last division quickly. We didn't do 1 through 5, Ezzy. You want to do 1 through 5?
Okay, sure. Do 1 through 5 real quick.
Okay, I'll go first here. Boston 1, Buffalo 2, Ottawa 3, Montreal 4, and Toronto 5.
I'm going to do Boston 1, Buffalo 2. I'm conflicted between 3 and 4 here. I'm going to say Montreal 3, Ottawa 4, Toronto 5. Kate, Philly. We'll talk about Philly first.
All right.
Anyone like the
just
the
spite as he really
I didn't like
than
the moves in the offseason. You get out rid of Gagne and you bring in Jaroslav. Don't understand that. You bring in Matt Walker, salary that I don't understand. Sean O'Donnell, and I understand because you want to add depth, but you signed him for basically free. You brought in Mezeros in this huge contract from Tampa when nobody wanted that contract to be your fifth defenseman. Really? Didn't understand that. Then you bring back Leighton and didn't address your goaltending, which, while it might, you know, you could argue it might cost them the finals because they let that go on against Kane. But overall, I didn't really see a plan there in Philly, and this is a team I picked for the finals last year at the beginning of the season. Their forwards are great. They still have a great defense, though. So having said all of that, this team is still a complete cup contender. But I didn't see... And they went into the Game 6 of the finals last year. But I didn't see the team take a step forward in the offseason.
Definitely not. And I think my take on Philly is that they've still got one of the best groups of forwards in the league, aside from maybe Washington. And like we were talking about before, amazing defense, one or two with Montreal.
One, I think.
And once again, I don't like that they haven't gone after a goalie. I didn't.
That bothered me a little bit.
But yeah. I think that Philly, once again, because they've got so much talent and they've got so many good players, I like Briere to have a huge surge in points. I think Philly again will finish third in this division and probably seventh or eighth in the conference.
Okay, I actually have them finishing second in the division, but we'll segue there into the New Jersey Devils, Ezzy. I have them finishing first in the division.
Do you have Pittsburgh or New Jersey 1?
I have New Jersey 1.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Pittsburgh 3, actually.
Okay.
They don't have wingers right now. I have New Jersey 1 because New Jersey's, first of all, a great regular season team, eh? They're always good in the regular season, and they always produce. And at that, you know, the playoffs have been a struggle for them since the lockout, but you look up front at New Jersey Devils, and you have a team with Parise, you have a team with Kovalchuk, you have a team with Zajac, and then you even add in your Zubrises, and you added in Arnott, Langenbrunner, Clarkson. Guys like this, I mean, lots of talent, veteran leaders. Now, in defense, I question their power play ability.
Yes.
You know, they have, like, Andy Green's their power play quarterback at this point, although Kovalchuk can play that role. But Andy Green has to be that guy. I question that. But you added Volchenkov and Talander. You added really good defensive defenseman there. Mm-hmm. I worry about that overall moving forward in the playoffs, the lack of offensive defenseman. But for now and over the regular season, the course of the regular season, and Brodeur, I think this team's the best team for the regular season in the Atlantic Division.
Okay, Richie, and this is something that I want to mention here, because they definitely are going to be lacking offense from their defensemen, and that might be why today they announced their 20-man roster, and on that 20-man roster was 19-year-old Alexander Urbom, who played for the Brandon Wheat Kings last year, and 24-year-old Matt Taormina. That's right. Taormina. I'm not sure how to pronounce that name.
And he
played for Lowell.
Sign?
I'm just saying that's who they're going to offense.
That's what I'm saying is a problem.
Right, and I'm agreeing with everything.
Oh, okay, as long as I thought you were touting these guys.
No, Andy Green is your number one offensive defenseman here.
Right.
And I mean, it's going to be a stretch to ask him to.
They waived
Samala
today. If you look at that offense,
he's injured. Yeah.
Up the middle, you have Zajac and Arnott, and on the wings, you have Kovalchuk, Eliash, Parise, Langenbrunner, Rolston, Clarkson. They're loaded. I mean, they're old.
Yep.
They're old as it can be.
Yep.
But they're loaded up front.
Yep.
You got to feel pretty good if you're a Devils fan, for 1 year at least.
Well, you have to feel good about your up front play. Your defense is giving you sweats tonight.
I feel very good about this team, Richie, but...
They need another defenseman, I agree.
They're going to be better defensively.
Caberle would be
a
perfect
playoffs,
fit here.
Right,
Caberle,
How long have we been talking about Caberle,
With the super offenses, and right. when you get to the playoffs, and I think the Devils will get out of the first round, but when you're competing against these Washingtons, these Philadelphias, Pittsburghs, and Tampa, you need some big time offensive defensemen.
Long term, I don't like a lot of the contracts that they've signed, but this one year, I think they're a very good chance.
And you know what, I think the one thing that they have that all those four teams you just mentioned don't have, Ezzy.
Yep.
Yeah, is Martin Brodeur.
He's going to play less games this year, for sure, this year.
Yeah, he has to.
There's no doubt this year. With you bring in Hedberg, he's not playing 76 games this year.
It's foolhardy to think that he can survive playing 75 games and then a long run into the playoffs.
Yeah, 38? Marty's what? Marty's
38 years old, yeah.
38, yeah. Johan Hedberg's 37. I got to be honest, I think Johan Hedberg, not very good.
I saw Hedberg, and I'm thinking this is the best thing. You know, I like Marty Biron as a backup there a lot more than I like Johan Hedberg.
That's probably a little bit too much money, though. The Devils are
good point as well.
That's why they
signed Hedberg for a 1.5 cap hit.
I realize Hedberg was 37 years old. Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe that either. And then Rangers signed Biron for
$1.5 million.
Rangers signed Biron for less than they did Hedberg as he. So
hey, they don't call him the Moose for no reason. He's got game.
No, they call him the Moose because he played here.
And he was good.
And he had game. I don't know if he still has
game. They didn't. He wasn't, like, bad. And he's been a very... He was the number one goalie in Atlanta for
Pittsburgh.
How long? Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry,
Hedberg. He had his playoff success in Pittsburgh, and that was the highlight of his career.
You always love to give it to me.
Pittsburgh, the team that has the best player in the world, I think. Probably the third best player in the world, or fourth best, fifth best around there, Malkin. And then you have a terrific center in Staal, who's injured right now. So up the middle, you're better than the other team in the National Hockey League. You've added nice defensive defenseman in Mihailuk. You've added a guy who can play both ways in Martin. Letang, and Goligoski have to be able to move the puck well, and Fleury has to continue to be a very solid netminder. The team right now in my opinion, the Pittsburgh on paper right now couldn't beat Philly in a series, couldn't beat New Jersey in a series, and couldn't beat Washington in a series. Probably could beat every other team.
Well, they could beat Washington.
But this is my opinion, is that when they add a winger, which is a when, not if, I think, that they'll be the team to be reckoned with. But in terms of this division, we're making predictions for the regular season. I have Pittsburgh finishing third in this division.
I think it's funny in this division, you have the top three teams, and I mean there's a clear top three and a bottom two, and each of the top three teams has a glaring weakness.
The team with the least, like, how are you going to say this? The biggest question mark is probably Pittsburgh in the wing. Second biggest question mark is probably Philly in goal. And the third biggest question mark is New Jersey offensive defenseman.
Yep.
If you had to pick between what you need the most, New Jersey would be the one that you can address easiest.
Yeah.
You think there's a lot of offensive defensemen out there?
More than there are goalies.
You need a couple of wingers.
More than there are goalies that people actually like are worth taking to the next level.
you know, the Pittsburgh wing issue, I mean, first of all, I mean, I think we're overlooking really how significant the Jordan Staal injury could be.
We are, but, we're, you know, regular season, I have him third for a reason, Drew. Playoffs, he'll be back by then, and that's all that matters. I mean, this team can win on the road.
Is Comrie still going to be moved to left wing, or are they going to stick with Matt Cook there? Because without Staal there, Comrie is kind of underused. I mean, that's someone who was brought in for that reason, right?
Right.
But I also have them finishing third, and I think Pittsburgh, there's still a lot to look forward to. I mean,
sure.
Aside from the fact that you've got two of the best young players in the world, but... I think you're still going to have a very, very talented team, but I still think that you're going to have to work with that power play in the Eastern Conference and find a good mix there. Whether that's putting Goligoski with a forward on the point, or giving Martin more of a different role than he had in New Jersey, Martin's not the guy that can lock and load on the point
that's
like
right.
Conchar can.
Totally, so I think that one.
Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh again. I think they're going to be good. But they'll have to make some moves. I mean, really, they should have really. I'm a big Guerin fan. I really think they should have tried harder to
get
Guerin and Ponikarovsky.
Get him back, yeah, maybe.
They look really good on that team still. Yeah.
Want to talk Rangers quickly?
Yep.
Sure.
We'll do Rangers. Rangers defense, I really like. I've liked it for a while. I like the last year. Staal, Girardi, Delzato. All good players. Gilroy there, too, out of, I think, BC. He's actually 26 already, though, 25, 26, so he's was signed as a veteran out of college. And obviously, Henrik Lundqvist and Nett, as good as it really gets. Up the middle, though, guys, I mean, Eddie Olczyk mentioned it about 2 hours ago now. Where's the depth up the middle? I mean, they have Dubinsky. Is he a number one center? It's probably more likely a number two. Gabrick's a top line talent, but where's their scoring coming from? It's not coming from these guys. I mean, Frolov is probably going to be a guy who can add something. Todd White, they added at the middle, but he was on waivers yesterday. Drury is overpaid. Yeah, they're a playoff team, in my opinion, because they're strong on the defense, and they have a good goaltender, a really good goaltender, and they can score some. But when it gets up to playing the other three teams in their division in the playoffs, no. So can they make the playoffs? Probably. Do I think they? Well, I actually do think they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to get out of the first
round. I have trouble believing that the Rangers really couldn't have used Tim Kennedy.
He's not a number one center.
Well, I'm not talking about number one center. They're paying him nothing.
But they already waived him.
And they waived him already.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he got claimed, though.
No, so but I mean...
Liners. Yeah.
Maybe this has been over...
Let's about
York?
Tim Kennedy, though.
What's that?
They also have a lot of guaranteed contracts. I mean, when you give Derek Bugard a four-year deal...
That on its own should be a fireable offense.
What's the deal with Derek Stepan? The guy who captained the U.S. I've
heard a lot of good things about him.
Right, but why isn't anybody talking about him stepping into New York and making a big impact?
Maybe
what is it about him? Does he not have a big enough offensive upside?
No, they like him, but again, young guy. I mean, this team has too many guys who are again. This team is going to make the playoffs, I think, there's no identity here. Basically, it's what it is. You have some young guys, you have some old guys. You sign guys to four-year deals, you sign guys to one-year deals. You give the money. You fight tooth and nail to give Brandon Dubinsky $1.85 million a year. But you'll go out and give Derek Bugard 4 years at $1.625 million. I don't know.
Didn't he spear
somebody
someone?
Needs to explain that to me.
Recently?
Yeah, he speared Chris Neal in the...
Why was he suspended for that? Why was Camilleri suspended for his little tap? I thought that was a tap.
I agree. I don't think
Camilleri should not
have
been suspended.
I agree.
Really? You should be allowed to hit a rookie in the exhibition season.
Bugard speared Neal. Did you guys see that?
I thought Niedermeyer should have got suspended then for blindsiding Camilleri. I mean, if you're going to suspend once, suspend the other. But
yeah, I mean, they just want.
This is a league that'll suspend that slash anything that's that bad, and then won't suspend the head hits. So.
Should we talk about the Islanders quickly?
It was already mentioned by Scott Morrison. They lost Mark Streit, huge loss for them because they basically.
It's unfortunate that Robbie Schrempf was injured.
Yeah, Robbie Schrempf, and they lost Osposo. So I mean, where do you look there? That team doesn't really have anything to make you think that they're going to be anything but a bottom feeder. There you go.
That's the Islanders in a nutshell. A bottom feeder.
Southeast Division coming up next.
Southeast Division, one final division, then we got cheers and jeers to wrap it up. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM. I can still see you belting it up.
I did sing that song, you're right about that.
I remember.
I wasn't sober, so you remember better than I do.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that you don't remember. You certainly weren't sober.
It's a good song. What a great song.
It is a good song.
I mean, you can't go wrong with the Rolling Stones.
You can't. It's true.
Welcome back. One final segment here on this Wednesday night. Let's quickly, the Southeast Division, we'll talk about it, then we'll do Cheers and Jers.
You're sure giving the short shift to the team I wrote about in the Hockey Perspectives book.
Oh, there's a shameless plug. You got the shameless plug in this week. Richard, where can you find the Hockey Perspective?
On Amazon.com.
There you go. Shameless plug alert. Okay, good. I am giving them short shrift. They
you
deserve short shrift
hear,
for the most part.
You can also buy Drew's karaoke CD on Amazon.com. For $9.99, you can hear Drew do all the hits.
The Police.
And it's great. It's a double CD. You can get it on vinyl. It's unreal.
Yeah, apparently vinyl's back up. Vinyl's like back in now. The stock's going up on vinyl.
That's right. No, cassette tapes are back.
You were telling me this. Cassette tapes.
Cassette tapes are also back.
I heard you guys have this conversation last
vinyl
week.
Big
DJs, real DJs have always been spinning vinyl.
No, they've been spinning an iMac.
Right, but they have to get their music onto the iMac via the vinyl.
The good one.
As you're a DJ in your spare time, a DJ
no,
and a doctor,
I
right?
I am not a DJ.
Aren't you DJ? Aren't you DJ? DJ Doctor Ezzy?
No,
okay. Well,
neither.
I don't want to give
neither.
Short shift to these teams in this division because the fact is, all these teams, in my opinion, are moving in the right direction. So,
well, there's no other direction for most of them to move.
The fact of the matter is, only one team is getting into the playoffs for sure, and all the other teams are going to struggle.
Well, because the rules of the National Hockey League. I think the two teams are getting
Lightning
in.
Lightning are getting in.
Yeah, I agree. I think Washington won. We'll talk about Washington quickly. One of the best offenses in the National
two
Hockey
teams
League.
Are getting in
we'll talk about Backstrom and Ovechkin, obviously, and then you add in Knubel, and you add in guys like Fleischmann, and you add in. You know, a bunch of other Eric Fair came into his own last year. You added Mike Green and Johnny Carlson, and then you got Neuwirth and Varlamov, both talented. Can they take the next step? Some people think Varlamov's more talented than Neuwirth. I actually really like Neuwirth. I think he's got what it takes to be a solid NHL netminder. We'll see. But do they have competition to win this division? I don't think so. Washington's going to, I think, win the conference fairly easily.
It's funny. You almost think that, like, you look at the Capitals every year, and this might be the year that they score, like, 700 goals.
Yeah, maybe.
But for sure, the dominant team in the entire Eastern Conference in this division, and they're going to beat up on Atlanta and Florida like they did last year.
Less so than, probably.
Definitely Florida, at least. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they develop and get better. And not just you know, in the offense department, because they are so good that they know that they're going to win this division. They're going to have to do those things, such as the intangibles, like the defensive aspects of the game. Because
to win, yes, absolutely.
You know, second round, getting to the second or third round is not good with this team when you have that much time.
And they need to play a better defensive game, and they need to add another defenseman. Let's be honest. They need to add another defenseman. This team should have signed Willie Mitchell. They had a cap room. I mean, I guess he got a two-year deal, so maybe not, but one-year deal.
I found it odd that they didn't actually go, they didn't win the Mitchell sweepstakes, quote-unquote.
I did, too. I thought it was, but again, he got 2 years. Drew, maybe that's why. But Washington Capitals here.
You got the cap room.
And Richie Alsner will be a regular this year. Am I correct?
Yeah, most likely. He's more of a shutdown guy. I don't really understand. That's true, so that's a good point. But I really don't understand why they didn't re-sign Belanger. So.
That whole drama.
I mean,
right?
I realize David Steckel's a great face-off guy, but I mean, Belanger certainly wouldn't hurt you.
No, I mean, they
want to be there.
You need more Belangers rather than less Belangers on your team. He's the guy who does all the dirty work.
True.
There's not that many people doing the dirty work on that team that can do it effectively. And, I mean, you know, I'm curious to find, you know, allegedly, what trade were they going to make that they never actually consummated that resulted in that whole debacle?
Well, there's rumors that it might have been Fleischmann. In any event, I mean, let's talk Tampa.
Okay, I mean, Tampa's just, I mean,
you
I,
like Tampa,
I mean, I'd love
like Tampa.
What Tampa's
I like Tampa.
Done this offseason.
Yeah, I'm more guarded with Tampa. Tampa's got a great top six. You know, you got St. Louis and Le Cavalier and Stamkos. That's amazing. I'm forgetting a couple of the guys. And you have
Stevie Downey.
Yep. So, and yeah, you have these guys up front here. It's a dangerous. And Simon Kani, obviously. The problem is, guys, they signed Dominic Moore, which is a good signing. He's injured right now, but the problem is their third and fourth lines aren't great. Moore's there, it helps a lot. But the third and fourth lines aren't great, although they claimed somebody, I forget his name, off of waivers from Detroit yesterday, who they think can be a help from the AHL.
I think it was Matthias Ritola?
Yeah, that's right. Good one, Ezzy.
That was on Dude Hatchick's blog, actually.
And they need depth there. So, I mean, that could help them. But their depth on the... This is the problem with them, guys, against top teams. Their top six is great. Their bottom six isn't great. And then their top four in the defense is serviceable. Their bottom two doesn't bring that much to the table. They're not bad. Their defense as a whole is serviceable but not great, and then their goaltending is serviceable and not great. So their top six is very good, and their power play is going to be awesome. But I worry about their penalty killing, and I just worry about them playing against really good teams. Bad teams, I think they'll beat fairly easily, and I think they'll finish second in the division. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think they'll have trouble with good teams.
Yeah, I've got them at number two, too, Rich. And I think there's a lot to be excited about in Tampa. I think it's going to be very difficult for this team not to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be, good enough to get a top five slot. But
I agree.
There's a lot to be excited with. Getting Gagne was really huge.
Nothing, basically.
Gagne is a top NHL player. He's an Olympian on Team Canada.
Yep.
And I think right now you have two very, very good lines. And like you already touched on, Moore is a guy that, is coveted by a lot of teams. That's why people pick him up as a specialty player, right? And I think fans in Tampa are going to have a lot to cheer about. Very, 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 very talented offensive defenseman. Dan Ellis is going to push Mike Smith. And whatever happens there, they're going to have a better goaltending outcome this year. So I think they're going to have a lot to be happy about when they make the playoffs. And I think they're that good that they can make a run and be that team that surprises a lot of people. Once again, they're going to have to get really, really, really outstanding performances on the back end, though.
I think their defense is going to be hurt by playing against speedy teams. I think there's a lot of players who lack the foot speed that they maybe once had.
Let's move on to the bottom three teams in the division.
And Olin, too. Yeah. Olin as well.
Yeah. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start? Like Atlanta. You're a big Pavlich guy. Do you want to start in Atlanta?
I mean, you have Bogosian and you have Haynes. You really polished this game under Hitchcock. And you have Tobias Enstrom, I think, is a very underrated guy. And bring in Sofo to kill penalties. And you can throw Bufflin back there if you want. You really have a solid defense. And then you have Pavlich with Mason, which is a good combination. Somebody pushing him, but not too hard. I think Pavlich is a better talent there. I think he could really excel. You have Ramsey instilling a defensive system. You add in Ladd. You add in a guy like Ladd. Sorry, Bufflin could be moved up to forward. Another year for Kane. I really think this team is going in the right direction. I think they're going to be a lot tougher to play against. They have some tough guys. They're not afraid to throw around their body. Are they going to be, a real... I think they could even sneak into the playoffs at the bottom. Are they going to be a threat to the top teams? No, but there's the team that's not going to be easy to play against.
Expand more on why you think they can sneak into the bottom there.
Well, Drew, I mean, when you break down the divisions, I mean, you have the top three there in the Atlantic. Pittsburgh, Philly, and New Jersey. Then you have Washington, okay? So that's four teams right there, and you have your default team from the Northeast. That's five. Well, maybe Buffalo and for example, maybe Tampa, but why can't Atlanta compete with the Rangers, Ottawa, Montreal for that eighth spot?
And within their own division, Carolina, they have the big names, Eric Staal, Tuomo Ruutu, Cam Ward, but they've put together a team here without having a number one superstar forward, which was obviously Ilya Kovalchuk, who's gone. But they have along with bringing some of the young guys and letting them know that they will play. Evander Kane knows that it's not a question if Evander Kane was going to make the team this year, but when you bring in Ladd, Eager, and Bufflin, the bruiser guys from Chicago, there's a little bit more hope here for them. And last year, even though they had Kovalchuk, it was kind of like, else do you have aside from Kovalchuk, right?
It's like the old Emmitt Smith with the Cowboys. Yeah. If you have a player on a terrible team, and you're going to be terrible if you trade him or not.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, what about Florida now? Florida or Carolina?
Well, Carolina. Carolina's a better team than Florida. Look at their team. You have Staal up front. You have Ward in the nets. You have Pickin and guys like that in the back end. Youngsters like McBain. And you have talent like Skinner and that'll eventually come out. Obviously, the Bowmans and the Boychuk and guys
Brandon
like that.
Brandon Sutter, Richie.
Eventually come up, exactly. Yeah. Some are in the AHL. Some will start in the AHL. Brandon Sutter played really well last year. I mean, that's a lot of good young talent, guys. And then you still add in guys like Eric Cole, and you add in some solid defensemen like Tim Gleason. And a tough team. I think Carolina is going to be harder to play against. I think they're on the right track as well.
Yeah, I can see where our predictions differ here, that you've probably got Atlanta in third, and I've got Carolina in third. But
I can see that, Eddie.
But I think, I think Carolina is going to fall a little bit short, but it wouldn't surprise me if they along with Tampa get that seventh or eighth spot. Carolina, another one of those teams. They didn't make a lot of moves. They essentially have the exact same team as they had last year.
But with youngsters,
they got killed with injuries last year.
They got Sullivan, I guess, is in your top six is a new guy, it's going to be tough once again for in the goal scoring department.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolina They had a lot of guys that had bounce back years last year. Ruutu, Jokinen put up decent numbers, but once again, Eric Cole's fallen off quite a bit.
Yeah, sure has.
And
he's in contract year, so we'll see.
It's going to be tough in the East.
Yeah, a lot of players in contract years.
Florida.
Well, I mean, Drew, Florida, you have the arguably the best net miner to the NHL, which you're eventually going to trade. And you have a lot of guys up front who are the same. I mean, you have Weiss, and he is what he is. He's a very solid National Hockey League player. He's a top two-line center, but who's he playing with? And you have your Stillmans and guys like that. And, you know, Frolik needs to take a step ahead. Olish needs to finally prove himself. On defense, you have a lot of young guys to look forward to. Keaton, Ellerby, Kulikov's a great defenseman. And then you have Gudbrandsson eventually, too. So there's a lot of things to look forward to in Florida, but not this season. You need another top pick, and they're going to get one.
Yeah, Drew, I mean, we don't have to talk much about Florida, unfortunately, because I think Florida and the Islanders are competing for last place in the Eastern Conference. Because once again, I mean, they're spending, you know, very, very close to the floor, the salary cap floor, and you bring in players that are good NHLers, but not enough where you're going to make other players better and make the team better. And I think that is a problem in Florida. Nathan Horton, obviously, yeah, that's what they were thinking he would do, 4 years ago. But
they just stacked first-round picks, does he?
Yeah.
Right? They traded Ballard for a first-round pick. Traded Horton for a first-round pick. That's all they want. And they drafted, who did they draft? They drafted, what's his name?
Gudbrandsson.
John McFarland, too. I mean, they drafted guys like that. They're drafting talent. As he's right. I mean, this team is looking forward.
Well,
Dale Towns a guy to do it.
Rebuilding.
Although Grabner went probably not helping much, but he's going to trust his scouts and he's going to draft that team and he's going to take time. How patient can you be? They haven't been in the playoffs in about 10 years and they haven't made the playoffs since the lockout. Obviously,
did Steve Bernier make the Panthers? Or
yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his game. I think he plays soft for a big guy.
Do you want to rank them 1 to 5 before we move on to cheers and jeers?
Washington 1, Tampa Bay 2, Atlanta 3, Carolina 4, Florida 5.
Yeah, the only difference that I had from Richie was I've got Carolina 3, Atlanta 4, Florida 5.
Okay, there you have it. That's the Southeast Division. It's time for cheers and jeers. Cheers and jeers. Cheers and jeers.
Ian LaPerriere. He took a slap shot to the head and had a brain contusion during the playoffs. Played through the symptoms. He says that he was in concussion denial, and now he's going to be sitting out the start of the season. You know, I've got to give him a bit of a jeer. You know, you've got to, you know, take a step back and look out, you know, what's really important.
I'm going to cheer CBC, the NHL. There's going to be two 3D games.
I wrote my portion of the Hockey with Perspectives book, and I wanted to dedicate the book to my dad, but if not for him, I wouldn't be able to write parts of that book.
And I'm going
to
cheer the HBO 24/7 featuring the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals. Great promotion for the NHL.
Cheers and jeers.
Cheer or jeer. Remus, is that just the way it is?
That's just the
way
it is.
That's a great song selection. That was good.
Pretty emotional, guys. Like,
that was a good one.
Wow.
I thought it was fitting, you know, for the Ian LaPerriere's ending his career.
Oh, but
it's the conflict there. It's a serious conflict here that's going on there. Richie, you want to start us off? Cheers and jeers.
It's a pretty easy cheer this week, Drew. Tomorrow night is the doubleheader, Hockey Night in Canada, Leafs, Habs, and Flames, Oilers. Come on, I've been waiting for this since the end of the season. That's the cheer. The cheer is the Hockey Night in Canada, by the way, stepping up on opening night. They have before, but stepping up on opening night and giving us that Saturday special on a Thursday. Can't wait for that. Pumped up.
Ezzy.
For a mini cheer, I got two cheers. One is basically an honorable mention. Alexander Urbom, I saw him play for the Wheat Kings last year. He's 19 years old. He made the opening roster for the New Jersey Devils. That's very impressive. I'm not sure if he'll stay there, but they're expecting him to be a part of their defense in the future. So a cheer to him. But my main cheer is going to go to Pat Burns. I got this from Rich Shear, who is a writer for the New York Star-Ledger that we had. Pat Burns attended a groundbreaking ceremony in his home province of Quebec, and they're naming an arena after him in Stanstead, Quebec. I'm not sure if that's where his roots are in Quebec, but he's battling lung cancer right now, and it's really impressive that he was able to go to that.
It's even more impressive after he was declared dead by all of Twitter 10 days ago.
Right. So good. Cheers to Pat Burns. He's a fighter, and you know, I've always been a huge fan of his, even going back to the Habs and Leafs.
He's one of the best coaches, yeah, definitely. It should have been like, well, that was one of my jerseys way back. That's a great jersey. One of my jerseys way back was why he didn't get, you know, why he wasn't named to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
It was ridiculous that he wasn't. Remus, cheers or jeer?
I'm going to cheer, and I'm going to cheer, obviously, the start of the hockey season tomorrow. I'm very excited. I can't wait to start tracking my fantasy players. But I'm also going to cheer the starting in Europe, and I like how it's starting the same day that it starts here. I know I always didn't like when they would start in Europe, like, 4 days before, and then you'd have to wait till the actual game started. Now we got, you know, it's like baseball. We got an afternoon game, and then, you know, at night, the real fun starts. So I can't wait for tomorrow.
I'll wrap up cheers and jeers by cheering all the Quebec City NHL fans who came out to that rally last weekend. You know, good on them for showing their support. Now, get off your duffs. Get an arena built there. I mean, let's stop with the talk that they're next in line for an NHL team. They don't have an arena.
Second in line.
So, yeah, they're second in line. That's fine. They can be second in line, not first in line. They're not queue jumping anything here.
Almost more importantly, Drew, looks like, I mean, they're going to get an arena and they're going to be competitive for the Olympics, the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
They want it.
They want it 2022 or 2022.
Yeah.
Quebec City would be a great spot to host the Winter Olympics, but
I've never been there before.
I've never been there, but I hear lots of good things. So, anyways, I think it would be great. Let's get an arena built there, and preferably not entirely with public money, but that's a separate issue for another day and time. But good for the fans for showing up and cheering everyone on there in that rally.